In the course of our weekly study of this great scripture, we were discussing the 56th verse of the second chapter, and we saw that Lord Krishna explained the goal to Arjuna, showed that how that goal is to be actualized or practicalized in life. And Arjuna understood those things, at least to some extent, and then he wanted to know how the life is changed when this knowledge comes. When the knowledge comes, it will have some effects on life. Just as when we get some knowledge, we live our life accordingly. If we know that some creature like snake is poisonous and can bite, and that bite can be deadly, we take adequate precautions because of the knowledge. Our knowledge guides us in our life. So when this knowledge that I am the immortal self, I am not subject to birth and death, I have everything that I need within me, when that comes, that knowledge of our inherent intrinsic perfection dawns, that will have the impact on our living too. So what kind of impact does it produce on our day-to-day life? That was Arjuna's question, and Sri Krishna is very beautifully answering it, that the effect is there, but the effect will not be very easily seen outside. Not that the shape of the person will change, not that some of the outer things that we see about that person will change, not that suddenly the height of the person will get altered, or some of the health conditions of that person, they also would remain just the same. Then what difference will be there? That person's actions now will be devoid or without any desires, devoid of all desires. That is the characteristic sign that one can see in that person. There will be absolutely no desire, because everything is already attained. The desire indicates that there are things that I need still to get. I need to accomplish certain things. When the goal is reached, well, now nothing more remains to be accomplished. In Sanskrit, there is a beautiful word called krita kritya. The English translation is something like this, that whatever needed to be done, whatever was to be accomplished, has been now accomplished. And still the person is living. So now the person will be doing actions that normally we all do, like the person will be eating, the person will be walking, that person will be talking, but without any desires. And he or she will be always full of bliss, full of happiness. That happiness of the person doesn't depend on getting something from the world or some loss that may occur due to some event. Those gain and loss will not be the cause of his happiness or otherwise. The person will be always happy. So it is told, Atmani eva atmana tushtah. The tushta actually means contented, completely contented. There is no requirement of anything else. That contentment comes there. Complete, total contentment. And this idea is further amplified in the verse that we saw, that there is no irritation because of the calamities or the unpleasant, so-called unpleasant circumstances that we see in the world. All those will come in that person's life too. It is not that that person's life will not have any financial problems, not that that person's life will have no diseases or no bereavements. All that will be there, and yet that will not be able to destabilize or irritate or depress that person. Dukkheshu anudvigna manaha and sukheshu vigata spruha. There is no hankering after some pleasurable objects that usually we feel that let me get some more pleasure. That idea will be gone from that person's life, because highest maximum pleasure or bliss is already there. That cannot be added any further. Like Sri Ramakrishna used to give an example that there is a short vowel and a long vowel. But you make it long by adding one particular line to the original alphabet. So like A, and then you add one line, then it becomes long A. Now if you add one more line to it, doesn't make anything better. It doesn't add anything to it. It is done. So similarly, this person's life is now full of bliss. When a pot is full, even if you add something, it doesn't get any fuller. That pot is already full. So therefore this person is completely, totally satisfied. And as an outcome of this satisfaction, three things will be seen in this person's life that we saw last time. Vita, raga, bhaya, krodha. That attachment will go away. Raga. We, because of our identification with body, we get attached in the world. My so and so. And thus we have all these special connections. Now that person will not have any attachment in the world. This should be understood, not that that person will be bereft of any love. That person will really have the maximum possible love for everyone, but without any sense of position, without any sense of being mine. And so, that being absent, there will be no anger and no fear. These three things are gone from this person's life. The bondage of attachment is gone. The fear has disappeared, because whom to fear when everything has become you alone? Now whom to fear? And also, how an anger can come that in that person's life? You don't get angry with yourself. With other, you get angry. Why did that fellow did like this to me? And with others one does get angry from time to time, even with very dear person. But with oneself the anger is not possible. So it is, this life is the outcome. That, and also these things cannot really go from life without this knowledge. With this knowledge they will be gone, and without this knowledge they will not be gone at all. So therefore this is a very important characteristic. When we want to specify a characteristic of something, then there are two ways of doing it, two complementary ways, that how it is and how it is not. So you see the effects in both ways, that if this is there, then there will be a complete freedom from all attachments and consequent bondages. It is there that one will be able to really experience freedom and complete total absence of fear and total absence of anger. These will be the characteristics of this person. Then we will see now, again this idea is stressed and put in slightly different way in the 57th verse. Yas sarvatranabhisnehastattat prapya shubhashubham nabhinandati nadveshti tasya prajna pratishthita. He who is free from all affection everywhere and who, getting whatever good or evil, neither welcomes nor hates them, has steady wisdom. Now the words are not exactly as we see translated in English. They have deeper connotations. And this is certainly a difficult task to translate a book like Bhagavad Gita, because the words, they, when translated, lose some of the fragrance of the original word. Many connotations are lost. So here this word anabhisneha means actually that exuberance of affection or attachment or these reactions that one gets when one gets something nice or when one gets something really bad. These things will come in this person's life too. But this person takes them in stride. Nothing can bring excessive joy to this person's life. We feel, what a nice sunny spring day. And if it is a rainy day, we feel, the weather today is bad. But this person sees that weather also has its own beauty. When it is cloudy, it has its own beauty. And suppose all days are sunny and bright, then we won't have any rains, and look at the water problem. That water scarcity will be a big problem. Then we will all be start praying, let there be clouds, enough of sunny days. It is, that person understands these things, the relativity of this life, and therefore does not feel elation, does not feel depression. It is this sign of this person, anabhisneha, and never excessively becomes joyous or excessively depressed. There is no such thing in that person's life. The emotional steadfastness. It is not that person does not feel anything. Suppose you come to tell that person, you know, I have won a big lottery. Okay, that person will say, wow, nice, it's good. It's good, very nice, and now spend it wisely. So, it is. You can't expect that person to join you in saying, hey, what is nice, come on, let's have a big party and start dancing, jumping and all that. You won't see that person doing, because what is there, just a few dollars have been added, and the money is just comes and goes. What is there to be elated so much about it? And even if you say that, well, I suffered a big loss, you know, that I had invested in such and such stock and it just went downhill. Hey, Swami, I have become a person, what to do, it is, well, that person will not, he will sympathize with you, it is so sad, okay. But what to do, this is life. So, there will be neither big elations or depressions in the life, because it is steadfast in wisdom that this world is just a passing show. This world is just a dream. It is not real. It is not going to be mattering at all. So therefore that person is not interested at all in it. Just to join you sometimes shows more smiles than tears, that's all. So that is the life of this person. No elations or depression, because sees that it is all impermanent. He knows that the time of peace is followed by time of war, and after war comes peace. It is it goes on like that in the history of the world. That is why the world is like that. The things are so interdependent that person understands the interdependence of these things, and therefore nothing elates that person. That person knows that, well, when there is the progress of science and technology, that we become happy about, it is also going to create some ecological problems. So, doesn't become unduly disturbed by those. Yes, when these things develop like that, some such problems also come with it. So, it is anabhisneha. Shubha and ashubha, there will be auspicious events, inauspicious events coming in that person's life to occurring around that person all the time. But that doesn't make that person unsettled. So, that person should be seen as tasya prajna pratishthita. When you see that, that person does not become excessively happy, na abhinandati, and never hates anybody. That is another characteristic. It is, if we compare it with our life, we will be able to understand how the knowledge has altered the life. Imagine, you know, how we respond to these situations. When such situations come in our life, how we respond to them. When something that we don't like happens, how irritated we become, how anger starts welling up, how hatred starts welling up in our minds. So this is the life of an ignorant person. But this person doesn't have any such problem, because sees that person clearly sees that this is all transitory, this is not real at all. The world has this interdependence. When the wave rises at some place, there is certainly a shallow somewhere. It is without that there cannot be a rise. So, everywhere that person is of a very steady disposition. So it is, that is the sign of this person. It is, there will be many things happening around, not that the person will be insensitive to them. The difference is also to be understood from that point, that let us not confuse this person with an insensitive person that doesn't care even if a million people are killed. I will do it. Is not that insensitivity. The person is very sensitive and yet is very strong, emotionally very strong too. This is the important characteristic of this person, emotional strength. The practical demonstration we can see in the life of great saints. When we read, for example, the last days of Jesus Christ, wonderful to see how that equanimity was seen there in a very palpable way, that was not disturbed, although he knew all the events to come. Because just as you read the script of the play, then you know what is going to come next. So he knew that, well, somebody is going to betray me. That person, even if he said, no, I am not going to, nobody, who is going to betray you? Am I that person? And then Jesus said, well, you have spoken it. You have spoken. That person had not the least inkling that he will be betraying. But in the play, well, you have to act according to the script. You don't have much freedom. So in the part of that person, it is written that you will be betraying. So, well, he had no choice. But see the behavior of Jesus with tremendous equanimity, without blaming anybody, without cursing anybody, that life just is very interesting. That is the being established in wisdom. See the life of other great saints. Swami Vivekananda, what a great life. Today, you know, one day he is honored as the greatest speaker in the Parliament of Religion, the most wonderful speaker. Everybody was coming to with great honors and accolades to him. One lady said, looking at that tremendous honor being heaped on Vivekananda, that, well, if you can digest this, then you are God. Because without that being established in that divine wisdom, people cannot digest that kind of tremendous respect. And next day, lot of denunciation. People started denouncing him for certain reasons, because when someone praises, then somebody else doesn't get what he or she was expecting. So many charges were leveled against him, false charges were leveled against him. People tried to denounce him. He was having no concern about it. Okay, well, wherever there is praise, there will be some blame, whatever. And these things come in life. So, he was not affected by any of these. Not that he was not sensitive to it. He was sensitive to it. He understood what it is. And just in a calm manner, took them all and did not get affected by anything. So this is the example. We have to study these in comparison with our life, how we respond to it, so that the effect of knowledge by comparison becomes clear. Comparison and contrast are very important things. What happens to a light bulb when it is connected to electricity, when we switch it on, then compare it with when the switch was not on, how it looked, and when the switch was put on, how it looks. That comparison will be able to show us what effect knowledge brings in our life. So, when knowledge comes in life, this will be the outcome. The life will respond to various events in this fashion. Another very important thing now will be told in the 58th verse. The 58th verse very clearly describes that what happens to this person in contrast with what happens to an ignorant person. An ignorant person and a person of knowledge both come in contact with various objects in the world. A person of knowledge also comes in contact with the so-called pleasant and unpleasant things. The senses of an ordinary person, when they see an object of enjoyment, there is that desire is there for them. That person, because of ignorance, feels that if I get that particular object, if I get this particular this pleasure of sense, then I will be happy. And so that particular sense organ runs to that object. Inside we can feel that, you know. Inside we can feel that. In children, because children are not taught to smother their feelings, they still have that natural expressiveness about them. So you can see how their eyes start glittering when they see the toy that they wanted. See, immediately the eyes, they show that glitter. Ha, I want it. Take the child in a toy shop and you can see all wanting, I want this. There is in our school books in Marathi, there used to be a poem. Not when I was child, but in later generations. It is, and that poem I liked a lot, that child is feeling that, what should I pick up from this? I feel I have to take the feeling of the child is, let me pick the whole shop and carry it with me. The eyes are seeing everywhere, wants to have this and this and this, everything. It is the consciousness wants to grab at all these things, because feel that they are going to bring happiness. The adults also have that, but adults to some extent learn to control. At least this, not that they actually there is control of the senses, but there is at least the expression is controlled so that people will not call you something not very likable, and they may term you that this fellow is too greedy, or we can don't mind being greedy, but we don't like to be called greedy. So therefore we control the expressions, but inside the sense organ they leap towards those objects. I want this. I want to grab this. And when an opportunity seems to present, then those sense organs, they tend to protrude out. The organs of enjoyment, they try to jump out, to grab those things, to catch those things. Yada samharate chayam, the 58th verse. Yada samharate chayam, kurmongani vasarvashah, indriyan indriyarthebhya, tasya prajna pratishthita. And when he completely withdraws his senses from the sense object, even as a tortoise withdraws its limbs, his wisdom is steady. Tortoise, the example of a turtle, tortoise is given. When the tortoise senses some danger, then what does it do? It withdraws the limbs inside. So this person of steady wisdom, when sees those objects of sense enjoyment, instead of like the ignorant person's organs will get protruded out, will try to jump towards the object, in case of this person, no, they will just go inside. They will, like the tortoise or a turtle withdraws the limbs, and this person's limbs will get withdrawn because it does not want to get embroiled into those things. And therefore, this is seen actually in people of such steady wisdom, that where there is an opportunity for so-called enjoyment, and the person sees a danger there, that no, I may get drawn into it. And so refrains, rather than entering, refrains from entering, goes inside. So this is how this person's life is. In case of Sri Ramakrishna, it has been seen several times that how he would react to such things, like money. He was offered money. There are several events like that in his life. Fearing that he does not have any money, so one of his very wealthy caretakers thought, his name was Mathur Babu. Mathur Babu thought that, what is the certainty of life? I may die tomorrow. And in that case, who will look after him? So let me make some wealth in his name. Let me give him some money which he can invest and get some livelihood later. And so he came to give money to Sri Ramakrishna. Look, you know, if somebody comes to give us money, take how our reaction will be. Normally people will welcome that person, will be smiling to that person, very nice, thank you and all that, good that you thought about it, it is good that you brought $1 million to me, $1 million, maybe two millions would have been better, but I don't mind $1 million. No? It is good that you came and brought $1 million. We will welcome that person, make that person, you know, give good hospitality to that person. It is like, you see, at all businesses, when there is a prospective customer, they treat you very well because you are a prospective customer. You are going there to give money to them. So when you there is an upper chance, you will be treated very well. Now look at the behavior of Sri Ramakrishna. That when he came to give him money, And Sri Ramakrishna picked a stick. You rogue! You want to make me entangle into these things? This is not exactly reverse thing. It is, if the beauty of it will be realized when we see how much Sri Ramakrishna loved him. When Mathur Babu, Sri Ramakrishna and he had such a loving relationship. He cared for him, he prayed for his well-being. And Mathura, he did not spare any effort to serve Sri Ramakrishna in the best possible way. That Mathura is bringing the money to him. And completely withdrawn, so that not even the chance of getting caught into it. It is, we shall see this this kind of behavior in other chapters of Bhagavad Gita. It has been elucidated very nicely. But he has pointed out, see the behavior. When the opportunity for such enjoyments, such something like picnicking, partying, this, that come, how the response of this person is, how that person responds to it, that shows the extent of wisdom that this person has. So this is the actual life. So it is Lord Krishna tells that you can know the sign of this person from this. But one has to remember that this sign can be externally imitated. This should not be stretched too much, because a person may be withdrawing the senses for some other reasons too, out of fear of some disease. That is, the sense is withdrawn, but not the liking for that is not gone. It is, so the next verse, that is the 59th verse, is very telling. The difference of knowledge is not only to be seen from the external behavior, but the internal consciousness that generates it. Similar external effects can be seen, like a person who likes to eat sweets. Like, I like to eat sweets, but I have to tell myself that, hey, sir, don't eat, you are getting fatter and fatter, what is this? Don't eat sweets. So I refrain, but even though I refrain, I do like this, you know, that it is the sweet is nice, you know, I want to eat it, but what to do, because of I am putting on weight, the doctor told not to eat, reduce the weight, so I have to refrain from that. So many people will not go in for enjoyment, and not because the desire for enjoyment has gone, but because there are some imposed restrictions. So, because of those imposed restrictions, that person may not go for those enjoyments. That not that the desire for sex life has vanished, but it is that enjoyment is restricted because of some other reasons, and therefore Sri Krishna points it out here. Vishaya vinivartante निराहारस्य देहिनः रसवर्जम् रसोप्यस्य परम् दृष्ट्वा निवर्तते. वेरी ब्यूटिफुल् वर्स्. वेन् ऐ फस्ट् हेड् रेड् इट् वेन् ऐ वास् ऐ यूस् टु गो टु इन् स्कूल् है स्कूल् ऐ वास् इन् है स्कूल् वेन् ऐ फस्ट् रेड् इट् and what it made a big impact on me. See, here is the difference that when a person is has no knowledge as such, that wisdom has not dawned, but because of some external restrictions, because of the restrictions of the society, because of the restrictions of health, or because of some imposed moral or ethical ideas, the person does not go to enjoy. What happens there? Vishaya vinivartante. From an abstentious embodied being, man or woman, from an abstentious embodied being, sense objects fall off, but not the relish for them. But even this relish of the man of steady wisdom ceases when that supreme being is realized. The translation is good, but it does not match the beauty of the original, that this person is in case of a person who is keeping that himself in check, that consciousness is still there, that is worth enjoying. That is very nice. Well, what to do? I am under such restrictions, so I cannot enjoy it. Would there be some way that I will not have to follow these restrictions and there will be lot of happiness in my life? Because that awareness is there, that this is the object that is capable of giving me joy. And so, like a dog, you know, it is on leash, so wants to run here and there. There is other dog, and then this dog wants to pull at the leash and run after the other dog. Now, if there is no leash, that it will run, but because of the leash, it doesn't run. The other day, our lorry's dog, some other dog was walking around there. Somebody was walking the dog, and she didn't know that, so she had not put it in the bag. And as soon as that door opened, immediately it rushed. So, it is, we have to put our minds on leash, because we feel that, hey, that is object of enjoyment, and I, but still I cannot have it, I have to put a leash on me. So, it is, but when the knowledge dawns that there is nothing worth enjoying there, when it is seen as nice ice cream, I want it, but it is not good for me, I should not eat it. But when I know that it is really not ice cream at all, it is only a show, it is not a real thing, it is then the desire for that particular thing also goes away. So, it is that wisdom, when dawns, knows that there is absolutely no happiness outside oneself. Now, why that person will need to restrain oneself. There is no reason to restrain, because the rasa, the relish, the desire for it itself has vanished. So that person, without any external control, is always controlled. Without that leash, doesn't need to be on the leash, is always under control. So that is, in fact, the word control doesn't become applicable there. It is the normal behavior. It is said by in commentary of Shankara that this person's behavior then is like all these what we call the signs of a virtuous life, that those virtues are natural for this person. The other persons have to control their behavior, show good manners, like the children are told, no, they are warned when some guests and others are coming, the elder people warn, hey, remember, such and such, they are coming, show your best manners, whatever you have learned, remember. And the children are under tremendous stress. The parents are under more stress. That, well, what the children will do. It is, there was a very funny incident. A guest was going to come at home, and then that guest had a little funny nose. A twisted or something. So the mother told the little daughter, hey, remember, don't keep on looking at that man's nose. It is, remember, again and again she told, no? And then she was feeling, may I have done my job well. When the guest was coming, she was still looking at her daughter, whether she... And the daughter was keeping her eyes down and all that, trying to control the laugh and all that. So the mother was still anxious. So when the coffee was served to the guest, and then she asked, would you like to have some cream in your nose instead of saying coffee? Because he was continuously thinking of the nose. So the mother asked, will you take some cream in your nose? So that is the result of the imposed controls. So you are always under stress, being under leash. You know. But here, because of the knowledge that the rasavarjam rasopyasya param drishtva nivartate, when the Supreme Lord is seen as this substance everywhere, then all those, the desire also completely goes away. Again, this can be understood very well only in the light of the lives of such persons like Sri Ramakrishna. See the life of Holy Mother. Why I am telling specifically Sri Ramakrishna and Holy Mother, that these are not ancient lives. These are personages of our own times. And their life has been very authentically written down in great details. So, when we see these events in their life, it is astonishing, you know, that how, because of the inner knowledge, there was all those desires had completely gone. It is the most natural behavior without any restriction, and yet exhibiting utmost again, I have, for the lack of better word, I have to use that word, utmost control, and yet no effort of controlling at all. Obviously, you know, when you know that banana that you are seeing is made of wood, that will not make you run to get it and eat it. You know that it is wooden. So, this person also sees that everything is Lord, and all the desires are therefore completely gone. And the relish is gone from this world. It cannot add an iota to the happiness of this person. So, now another topic will begin. Again, we have to remember that for whom are the scriptures? The scriptures are not for a person of knowledge and doesn't need it. No? When the person has reached destination, doesn't need to have the directions to get there. Already the person is reached there. So the Bhagavad Gita need not be studied by a person who already has knowledge. It is told to Arjuna who is seeking that wisdom. So it is for we who seek wisdom. So in the light of this kind of life, now how can we govern our life? How this example of this life will be able to guide us in our life? How should we try to mold our lives so that we will, by following in their footsteps, will come to the, ultimately, to this same stage of complete God realization. That topic will come now, that it is the life of caution, control, and understanding of this will have to be followed by the seekers of truth. The seekers of truth have to learn this through proper discipline. One has to put one's life in discipline. And discipline is not liked by us, because we feel it is a restriction on our freedom. I want to do what I want to do. But the disciplines are a great help for our progress. So this topic will come now. The time is up, so we can discuss it only next Friday. Any questions? So let us conclude with the closing prayers.
Gita sugita kartavya kimanyat shastra vistarai ya svayam padmanabhasya mukha padmadvinesrita ekam shastram Devaki Putra Gitam Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva Eko Mantraha Tasya Namaniyani Karma Pekam Tasya Devasya Seva Sri Krishna Arpanamastu.